Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
So I really had to go and wait on the Lord for what to speak on today, because, you know, I have, I think, about three messages already prepared from time before. And, you know, the Lord says, have a sermon in your pocket. Well, I've got one for every pocket, but that wasn't for today. You can't just pull out a message and say, okay, this is for today. So yesterday after cycling, I went home and I waited on the Lord, and it was just so clear when God spoke to me about the message today in the context of our season that we felt we're going into, that we are pioneers and pioneering for God. So I really wanted to unpack that as to what is that. So that's why I called the message Pioneers. Why and how and who? So as the Lord has spoken about the season of pioneering, it would be good to understand and unpack what this is. What does pioneering even mean? Who are pioneers? Why are pioneers even needed? And how does one be a pioneer for Jesus? Have you guys thought of that since the theme was announced? Did you go and look up what that word actually means? American Heritage Dictionary has a few explanations that help us a bit. Says one who ventures into an unnamed, unknown or unclaimed territory to settle. One who opens up new areas of thought or research or development, or a soldier who performs construction and demolition work in the field to facilitate troop movements. Now, all of those in a spiritual context can really help us understand what God is saying. Cambridge Dictionary says, a person or group that originates or helps open up a new line of thought or activity, or a new method or technical development. But the last two, I think, are probably the most apt. One of the first to settle in a territory and to open up or prepare for others to follow. So this really helps us. If God has said we are pioneering, maybe we should apply our minds to understand what he means. So how do these things relate in a spiritual context? Because we're not just talking about the pioneers who went and opened up the U.S. and the pioneers who climbed on ships and sailed around the world and landed on various coasts, the Portuguese sailors, the Spanish sailors. They did that physically. But what is God saying spiritually? So a key aspect of pioneering is around territory. And the Bible's got a lot to say about territory. Paul talks as an apostle that he ministered in a physical territory, which was a sense of pioneering. We read from 2 Corinthians 10:13-17. He talks like this. He says, we will not boast about the things done outside of our area of authority. Hear the word area? We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us. Boundaries is territory, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we'd never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. They were pioneering. They were the first. Nor do we boast about the claim or credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you may be extended. Extension of boundaries. And the reason for that extension is through faith. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news to other places far beyond you, where no one else is working. There will be no question of our boasting about doing work in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast about the Lord only. So that passage really gives us a context of how Paul saw it, that he was pioneering for God, but in physical territory with spiritual weapons. So the Lord has spoken of being a pioneer or of pioneering. It's not a place where nobody is living now. That was physical pioneering back in the day. It's not necessarily about leaving this place. But it is about taking ourselves and the people around us and those living in our reach into the fullness of God that we have not experienced before. So that's the newness. So trying to understand what is the new thing within the old. But territory also speaks of areas over which opposing sides battle. Satan occupies any territory where there is not the fullness of God on this earth. We can see that. The Lord gave me this scripture this morning after I'd prepared yesterday, so I had to add this one to Sean's list. Mark 1, 32 to 34 says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. This is actually after Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law. So word gets around that he's there. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Now, why am I reading that in the context of saying that Satan occupies any territory? Well, what was he doing? He was driving out demons. He came, brought a new way. Guys, this is the way to live. And he had to dispossess the devil of the territory of people's lives in order to be a pioneer in that place. They hadn't seen this before. That's why they came running. That's why, I mean, I picture it. It says here, the whole town gathered at the door. Have you ever seen a town gather at one door? I don't know what that looks like, but if we were all standing in the door there, it'd be a little bit crowded. But somehow that's what obviously happened. Maybe everyone's peering and straining their necks to see what's happening, and one by one, people are coming out changed because he prayed for many people. So the devil is being driven out where Jesus was operating as a pioneer. Ephesians 6, verse 12 and 14. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're against the rulers, against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Stand your ground, it says in verse 14, putting the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. So we know that passage, but the emphasis here is that you're standing your ground means you're fighting over territory, but the territory you're fighting over is the spiritual territory of the rulers and authorities of the unseen world who don't want to be dispossessed of people's lives or areas, because demonic powers also occupy areas. That's why some areas are so depressed. And when you see the squalor of poverty and places in utter destruction, know that the devil is working there. That's not what heaven looks like. So if that's not the way God builds, then that's the way the devil works. When you go back to the Old Testament, Joshua 1, verse 2 and 3, my servant is dead. Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land I'm giving you to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. And what did he say to Moses? That is Deuteronomy 11. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. There's the promise. There's the fulfillment. Okay? The promise in Deuteronomy is fulfilled in Joshua. They went over. And there were people living there. It wasn't a place where there was nobody. But God's presence, God's people hadn't moved in. So when God said to us, we are pioneers, we are taking what we have understood and possessed into a place that doesn't necessarily know it or understand it. They might have heard about it, but it's not fulfilled. It's not occupying that place. So the promise of claiming territory, both in our life physically and spiritually, and in the lives of those that God loves and died for, comes with conditions of obedience and consequences for disobedience. If you go and read that passage of Deuteronomy, it will tell you that what would happen if they didn't listen to him. And so we also have consequences if we don't step up and start to pioneer and start to do what God has called us to do. We can end up with suffering. So pioneering for God required wholehearted devotion and surrender and love. It wasn't something to be done half-hearted. You know, it's in my notes, but I mean, Abraham was a pioneer. He was told, get up and go. I'm going to lead you to a land. And so many others have done that. And so if you got up and left, those settlers that traveled from their homelands in Europe or wherever and went and settled in the US or whatever, do you think they could do that half-heartedly? If you've read a life story, help me. Autobiography, or the story about, or the biography, if you didn't write it yourself, of the pioneers of David Livingston, a powerful man of God. He didn't do that half-heartedly. And so sometimes we want to pioneer, but we want to do it from our couch with our feet up and our pina colada on the side here and in the land of comfort. And it's not all about our comfort. We're not going to be able to pioneer in comfort all the time. So what is it not? Maybe that's helpful to understand. And I just literally wrote these as a download that the Lord gave me. It's not being a cowboy or a cowgirl. It's not just saying I'm going to be gung-ho. It's not a lone ranger. We don't do it on our own. It's not being a hero so people can say, look what you've done. It's not an idol to be worshipped. Wow, look what that person has done. It's not in arrogance. I'm better than everyone else. That's why I'm doing it. It's not superior. It's not wise in the world's eyes. It's not a new theory about God. It's not a new philosophy or way of thinking about God. It's not something to be proud of. It's not something to go to your head. It's not something to do in your own strength. And it's not by your power. And it's not your wisdom. It's not for your glory. It's not because you are qualified. It's not because you earned it. It's not because you deserve it. And another one that came to me while we were worshiping, it's not only for the young. So what is God saying? It is for his purpose. It is for his glory. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is to become normal for us to walk in. For all who call him Lord. As I said, not just the young, for all. Doesn't matter whether you've got one day left to live on this earth, you can be a pioneer for Jesus. And it is to shame the world by using the weak. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 28, Paul writes, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose the things of this world considers foolish, in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things that, and I've added, people counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing to nothing what the world considers important. God does not work like we think he does. And so when we pioneer, if you just take what you know and you just use it out of habit, probably you're doing it wrong. If you spend time in God's word and get a revelation and take that, you're probably doing it right. It is because, so what is God saying this is? Also, it is because he loved all while many people were still rejecting God, and many still are. Romans 5 verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And that is those people that are going to be reached through being pioneers. People could be described, pioneers could be described as people who have learned to call things that are not as though they were. You've heard that, I've spoken of a few people in their past. People who are operating on a supernatural faith gifts and other gifts, the gifts spoken of in the Word. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit overflowing, such as Peter and John, who were ordinary men, but God began to use them to do the extraordinary. Acts 4, 13 to 14. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. That's pioneering. This is a thing that nobody had seen before, but they couldn't deny the evidence because it was before their very eyes. People couldn't deny that people were being healed. That's why the whole town was gathered at the door, because they had something to see. So when we are pioneers, we are making things for people to see, or we're doing things that have the evidence that people want to see. But we are also recognizing that God wants to use us as ordinary men and women. Not to overly be pious or be over humble, but to just be realistic and just be real. Not to do all those things that I said it's not. Not to puff ourselves up. And they had no special training in the scriptures. Now, yes, we are talking about discipleship and we want to train you. But don't disqualify yourself for what you think you don't know, because then you're denying God to use you. Because the very scriptures themselves tell us in John that God will show you. He just needs a willing soul. So that is a little bit more of what is pioneering. Let's look at why. Why do we have to go and do this? Why has God told us to be pioneers? Well, it's to take the wisdom of God and the love of God, which defy human understanding, to a lost world of people who have not heard and not understood. That is being a pioneer. It's also to bring believers who are perhaps stuck in routine, faithless faith, to be faithful, active pioneers. There are many believers who have, like Paul described, shipwrecked their faith. And to be a pioneer is to pull them out of the shipwrecked state and get them to be pioneering. Get them to live an active life. Jesus wants every believer to be active. And the reason is also so simple. Jesus said so. Do you love him? Then do what he says. John 14:15. If you love me, obey my commandments. He said it. So simple. And where did he command this? Well, that comes from Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So if we're told to go and make disciples, another word for that could be go and make other pioneers of Christ. Because a disciple makes other disciples. And a disciple is one who has understood all the commands God gave. He says, teach these new disciples to obey. So to become a disciple is to obey all the commands. And to operate in the authority of heaven. So we are authorized. We are empowered. We are commanded. We are required, and we are needed. So that's simple why. So then the question comes, how? How are we going to do this? Well, three different points here. First one is, the actions of pioneers cause news that spreads. That's what I could see from the scriptures. So we got to become news spreaders. Are we news spreaders? Not because of what we say. So it's not news spreaders by your voice. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? You don't have to be the spreader of the news by your mouth. But because of what we do for God, that the people spread the news of his work, that's happening through us, through you. So when things happen, the news will spread because people will say, did you hear? So-and-so got healed. Did you hear? Rhonda and the team prayed for that farm. And normally that thing would just be gone. But look what God did. He brought rain out of season. The news spreads and there's another situation and people call the pioneers to come and break in there and do the same miracle, have the same outworking because people have spoken. So we're not to be sensationalists. It's not about being different for different's sake. Matthew 4:23-24, it says here, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Here's the word. News about him spread as far as Syria. If you go and look at the map, you'll see that's quite far from where he was. And people soon began bringing all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease was, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. What happened? News spread further again. So the news spreads, they see the evidence of the outworking, it's actually happening. It's like the Peter and John healed that man and they said, well, we can't deny that he's standing here in front of us. Also, Mark 3, verse 7 to 8, another example where the crowds followed Jesus. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from the east of the Jordan, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and a vast number of people came to see him. If we are pioneers, is news spreading about what you are doing for God? Because that's kind of a measure that people are hearing about it. Pioneers that spread news cause actions from those who hear. So when the news spreads, it results in actions from those who hear. They began responding to Jesus. Elizabeth and Zechariah and their son John the Baptist were pioneers. John is sometimes the only one recognized as a pioneer. But imagine being told by an angel that your wife is having a miraculous son and about his destiny and his name, which doesn't follow tradition of 1,000 years. Would you have ventured out into this against tradition and conformity in that day and age? You know, Mary and Joseph can be probably put there just as easily, but I'm just using Elizabeth and Zechariah now, because you'll see John the Baptist also comes clearly as a pioneer as well. From Luke 1:59-65, when the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, which is what they would have done for 1,000 years. But Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. Stepping out. What? They exclaimed. There's nobody in your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name. Remember, Zechariah was mute from the time he didn't believe the angel. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, in quotes, his name is John, backing what Elizabeth said. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God, and awe fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news at what happened, here it is, spread throughout the Judean hills. So news spread about, wow, did you hear about that son that Elizabeth and Zechariah had? They called him John. What's he going to be? Pioneers open up the way for others to be saved and healed and delivered. Luke 3:1-4, John the Baptist prepares the way. It's now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea, and Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea, Traconius, Licinius was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. So this just sets the scene. Who's in charge, where, when? Okay. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. He was already pioneering. No one had gone to live in the wilderness like that before. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, he is a voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. Did we hear the definition of pioneering in the beginning? Is that match it up? Pretty spot on. So pioneers are clearing the way for God to come into people's lives. The fourth one of how we are or we become recognized for the pioneering. Matthew 14:34-35. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, when the people recognized Jesus. The news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing the sick to be healed. See, they recognized Jesus, but they also, it wasn't just that they saw him and said, this is Jesus. This is the Jesus that's been doing all these things. It's like when you, if you see, it's like maybe they would have said, this is the Wigglesworth. He's the same guy. This is the guy that healed that guy from the dead. This is the guy that did this and this and this. You see, Acts 9:38, but the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to him and begged him, please come as soon as possible. You see, they recognized him and they wanted him to come. But Peter asked them, jumping to 40, to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed, turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha, and she opened her eyes. when she saw Peter, she sat up. This is a dead woman that he rose from the dead because he stepped out to be a pioneer. How many people had risen people from the dead before? They'd seen Jesus do it. So they were pioneering in the same spirit that Jesus did. And the news spread in verse 42 about that whole thing. The news spread through the whole town and many believed in the Lord. There's the action as well. Many started believing. So it spurs on that action. So let's close with who. Who is this for then? Who is called to be a pioneer? Is it for the elders? Is it for deacons? Is it for leaders? Is it missionaries and apostles? No. It is anyone who is saved. Yes, all are called, and we all have some field of harvest before us. Remember Jesus said, the fields are white unto harvest. For those who have just met the Lord and come into salvation, ensuring their names remain in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be a citizen of heaven when the day of the Lord comes, right up to those who have been soldiers in Christ for many years. Sometimes we can go stale, stagnant, dormant. We stop pioneering and we become settlers. We get lazy, comfortable, complacent. We might even have thought to stop the race or even give up. The people that Paul talks about, they've shipwrecked their faith. But Jesus is our guide, our strength, our hope, our peace. In him, we can be sure that we can continue to be a witness. No matter where you've got to, no matter where you feel this pioneering is too much, are you called by his name? Jesus? Are you a Christian? Then 2 Chronicles 7:14 says to us, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. John 14:23-24, Jesus replied, all who love me do what I say. My Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each one of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. This is for every believer. So respond today, humble yourself, and sign up to God to pioneer for him. Amen.